Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, we continue our journey through the book of Romans, and today's teaching is entitled Freedom Through Adoption in our Nothing Wheels series. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and uplifting message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
I really encourage you to listen intently and hear what the Spirit of God has to say. We're in an amazing time, church. The body of Christ is in an amazing time, but we must understand the times we're in, and more importantly, we must understand what God is doing in the midst of this time.
Amen.
I've learned there's two aspects to what God does in our life. There are the seasons of God. That is when in God's timeless existence, he establishes something for us during a certain period or during a certain time in our life. There are seasons he calls us to. But in the season of God, there's also a rhythm of God. And the rhythm of God, it lets us know the heartbeat of God. So it's important that we not only know what God has called us to, but we also understand how he's going to accomplish what he's called us to in that particular season. Today we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Amen. From the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who live in the flesh, those who live by the flesh, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, everyone say if. There's a qualifier there. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him, or glorified together. And in today's text, there are two primary things that Paul deals with. One, the fact that we have been freed from sin's control over us. And two, the fact that we, if you're in Christ, have been adopted into the family of God. On Saturday nights, I have a routine. I'm a very routine person. And one of the things that I do is I like to figure out what I'm going to wear the next day. And I most often select, and this may sound weird to some of you guys, but I most often select what I'm going to wear based on how I feel. Is that normal, even for men? Okay. So what I do sometimes is, some Saturday nights, I don't know quite how to feel. I kind of got an idea, so I may prepare two outfits to wear. That's not normal for me, right? Okay. But listen, it's very important that you get this. And I didn't intend to talk about my dress, but what was shared this morning that came from a 3-year-old made me understand a little bit more of what God wants to do today. I felt the need to wear black. So I pulled this vest out, which I never wore this thing. I've had it tucked away in my closet for several years, probably 3, 4, 5 years, just never wore it. But I don't wear black. I don't like to wear black. I just don't. Although people say it makes you look slim. And I do worry about, you know, this. But black to me has a different meaning. You traditionally wear black for funerals. I don't even wear black for the funerals. I don't. But I felt the need to wear black. And I kind of wrestled with, okay, what kind of shirt am I going to put on? I have had a gray shirt to put on under this. And my daughter asked her, said, "Nah, Daddy, you need to wear the black shirt." And I'm thinking, that's too much black. But I wore it anyway, and I put this vest on to kind of tone it down. God wants to put to death some things today. So I really want you to listen to what I'm going to say, what the Holy Spirit wants me to say to you. Not guilty. Let him, let her go free. What would those words mean to you if you were on death row? I mean, literally on death row. But because of some workings in the system, the judge declares you are not guilty and sets you free. No doubt you will find great comfort in those words. Where the whole human race, please hear me, is on death row. Justly condemned for repeatedly breaking God's law. Without Jesus, church, we have no hope. But we face the same penalty of death because of our transgressions. But God's Say, everyone say, but God. But God has declared us not guilty. He set us free from the penalty death of sin. And he's given us his power that we may live a victorious life over sin. In last week's message, The Conflict, I talked about the internal struggles that we battle through in our pursuit of God. A conflict that is very real, and it's a conflict we should not ignore. It is a struggle between our redeemed spirit and our carnal flesh. A carnal flesh that causes us to lust after the things of this world. But God, through Jesus, made for us a way out of hell's grip. Amen. He's made a way out for us. And the things that we were once slaves to, God has freed us from. Listen, we are free from sin's dominion working in our members, causing us to do the things we do not want to do and not do the things that we want to. Sin is powerful. And please hear me. Sin has no mercy on its subjects. It will take no mercy on you. But in Romans 8, Paul offers encouraging words about this ongoing conflict. In light of what he said in Romans 7 concerning the struggle that we walk through, he writes in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." No condemnation. Only life. Listen, walking in the Spirit, you got to hear this. Walking in the Spirit never leads to condemnation. But it always leads to the life that God has for us. Always. Every single time. When you walk in the Spirit and not your flesh, the Spirit going to lead you into the life God has for you. But sin will lead you into death. No matter, church, how difficult or how intense the struggle is, the Holy Spirit will always lead to freedom from sin. He always leads us into freedom. And by him, by the Holy Spirit, we've been adopted into God's family as sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And by him, by the Holy Spirit, we now live by the principles of that adoption. You no longer live by the principles of the family that you was born into.
Amen.
Or should I say, you should not. But you should live by the principles based on you now being an adopted son or an adopted daughter into the family of God.
Amen.
Being born into this world, into a natural family. Listen, you were born into the things that governs that family. That is why Jesus said, you must be
born again.
You must be born again. Unless a person is born again, all he or she has access to is what the natural world has to offer.
Amen.
Speaking to Nicodemus, in Nicodemus in John 3:6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Listen, very elementary teaching. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And when you was born into the flesh, listen, that's all you had. But that which is born of the Spirit, capital, that means the Holy Spirit is spirit. Therefore, listen, the flesh of a man cannot give him what is spiritual. But the spirit of a man will be controlled by his flesh if not born again. But through the rebirthing process, through the process of being born again, we change our family dynamics. Ooh, Jesus. We change the things that we have been subject to our whole life. Though you were born in the flesh, as a Christian, if you're now in Christ, the laws of nature no longer defines you. But there is now a new definition of who you are. There's now a new definition of what you represent. In this same conversation with Nicodemus in John 3:3, Jesus said, most assuredly, Nicodemus, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot even see. And I added the word even because he's really emphasizing something here. If a person is not born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Unless a person is born again, there's no way to know the things of God. Because the kingdom of God cannot be seen with natural eyes. Amen. The kingdom of God cannot and will not be understood with a carnal mind.
That's right.
The kingdom of God cannot be received and understood by the flesh of a man. You must be born again. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings this morning, but if you still live a defeated life, and I'm not saying a life that, you know, that we're to live a life that's free of troubles. We know that we all, but you know what I'm talking about. If you still have a defeated life, if sin still controls you, if you cannot control something that you know God does not want you to do, perhaps it's because you've never been born again. Because if you've not been born again, all you can do is live by your flesh. Maybe you was born into a Christian family, and you think that makes you a Christian. Maybe you've been going to church for most of your life. Maybe you are a good person. But please hear me. You must be born again. In his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus revealed three very key things. Number one, without the new birth, there is no life and no relationship with God. Listen, if you have not been born again, there's no life. You have no life and you have no relationship with God. You may have some awareness of who God is, but there is no relationship. Number two, in the new birth, new perspectives come as you see for the first time the kingdom of God come to life. And number three, through the new birth, you enter into a realm of existence where God's kingdom becomes your reality.
Say that one more time.
Through the new birth, when you are born again, you enter into a realm of existence where God's kingdom becomes your reality. It is more than just being saved. And I don't mean to de-emphasize being saved, because that is the most important thing. But being born again is more than that. It is literally a change in your citizenship. It is a change in the family that you now belong to. Being born again, it requalifies you. It opens up new possibilities of existence in the supernatural or the spiritual dimension of your life. Through the rebirthing process, we've made fit for life in God's kingdom. And listen, it is a marvelous, everyone say marvelous.
Marvelous.
Fantastic, say fantastic.
Fantastic.
Work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is a marvelous, fantastic work of the Holy Spirit. Now your existence and your rights are not defined by the family you were born into, but they're defined by the family you've been adopted into. In the new birth, we become sons and daughters of God. We now belong to Him. We're His children by way of adoption. And the power of His life-giving Spirit is at work in our mortal bodies. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." This Spirit of life is the Holy Spirit. He was involved in the creation of man. Remember, God breathed the what? Breath of life of the Holy Spirit. He was involved in the creation of man, and He is the power behind the rebirth of every believer. We've been made free. We've been made free by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what Paul says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free." And the Greek word that was translated free means to liberate. It means to acquit. It means to set free. It means to deliver. And in the New Testament, this word is used exclusively. Everyone say exclusively.
Exclusively.
That means only, right? In the New Testament, the word translated free here is used exclusively for Jesus setting believers free from the dominion of sin. Because of Jesus, we're now free from God's wrath, and we're free from the power of sin that once controlled us. Paul said in Colossians 1:13, "God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Delivered us from darkness means that God has rescued us from the tyranny of darkness. He's rescued us or delivered us from the tyranny of sin and from the tyranny of Satan. But it also means that God has rescued us from danger, from death, from sickness, from hostile situations in general. The rescue of God. When you are in Christ Jesus, when you experience the rebirthing process, or when you did experience it, God's rescue touches your past, it touches your present, and guess what? It touches your future. It touches your past, present, and future because the work of Jesus was timeless. Romans 8:3, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son." And I've said only twice. But the word there is "his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh." Listen, what the law could not do for us, Jesus accomplished.
Amen.
Remember I said that the law last week is a sign that points to Daniel. Remember the story of the the sign that says no swimming, shark in water. And I said, you can get mad at the sign, or you can realize the sign saved your life. Amen. Well, listen, Jesus is more than a sign that points to danger. But he completely eradicated the danger for us. And there is now no condemnation concerning sin. There is no condemnation because of the conflict. But through the work of Jesus, we're not condemned. But listen, the sin that works in our flesh, creating the ongoing conflict, that has been condemned by God. So anyone who's in Jesus, God has condemned the sin of that man and not the man of their sin. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:3-4 from the Message Bible. He said, God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote or unimportant, but in his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition and entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. And the law, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. But the law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of sin. So the law, as good as it was not the answer. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:5-6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Very important. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In these verses, Paul divides people into two categories. Those who let themselves be controlled by their sinful nature, and those who follow after the Spirit. All of us would be in the first category if not for Jesus. Amen. But because of him, we can choose to follow God and live a life whereby we overcome the conflict by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. When faced with difficult or perplexing situations, as you battle the conflicts of your flesh, ask yourself this. What does Jesus want me to do in this situation? Ooh. When you find yourself tempted and you're trying to decide to sin or not to sin, just ask yourself, what would Jesus have me do? What would the Holy Spirit have me do? And when you decide, if you decide, to do what Jesus will have you do, then ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you.
Amen.
He lives in you as your helper.
Amen.
He's the power of God in your life. He's the presence of God in your life. He's how God makes known the things of God to you, the manifestation of God's Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. They flow through the Holy Spirit, but he's also your helper.
Amen.
Let him help you. Let him help you. He is continually present in us. He's continually present with us, leading us into God's perfect will. Therefore, listen, if you're in Christ Jesus, your existence, does not have to be that of a mere model or a mere mortal, but it can be and should be an existence filled with God's presence and power. The Holy Spirit must direct your life because the carnal mind is enmity. Everyone say enmity. It is enmity against God. That means it is actively opposed to God. Your carnal mind. It is actively opposed to God. It is hostile towards God. And it cannot be subject to the law of God. Those who live by the flesh cannot please God. If you yield to your carnal mind, then your existence becomes one that opposes God and his principles. But God has given you his spirit. And when you yield to the Holy Spirit, you now align yourself with the principles of God and you overcome the internal conflict. Romans 8:10-12 says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. What Paul is saying here is, you owe your stinking flesh nothing. You don't owe your flesh anything. You're not indebted to your flesh if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have a choice. But if you're in Christ, you're not indebted to your flesh to do what he wants you to do. But if Christ is in you, your body is now dead because of sin. Listen, in his death, Jesus killed and laid to rest the sinful flesh of man. Amen. The only way to destroy the power of sin is to kill the flesh that sin relies on to live in.
That's right.
That's good preaching there now. Yeah. I want to say that again. The only way to destroy the power of sin is to kill the flesh that sin relies on to live. That is what Jesus did. Yeah. I want you to have, listen, you got to get a new picture of what he did for you. In his earthly body, he took on the sins of all humanity. That body was then nailed to the cross and crucified. And in that crucifixion, not only was Jesus crucified, but the sin that wants to work in our bodies were also crucified. Therefore, we're no longer indebted to it. Paul said, if you live according to the flesh, in Romans 8:13, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Listen, something's going to die. It's time to bury something. Amen. So I want you to see my black. Because something is going to die. Either your flesh is going to die to sin, or you're going to die because of sin. Something's going to die. Paul said, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you live. Something's going to die. Today, God wants to bury the sin that's in your life. To put to death the deeds of the body means to regard as dead the power of sin that is in your body. When you regard sin as dead in you, you can more easily ignore the temptation that comes your way. When something is dead, you realize it has no more power. That it is what, and listen, that is what Jesus did to sin. He took away, Jesus took away sin's power over you. And Paul goes on as we conclude our text in Romans 8, 14 and 15 to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yeah. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Yeah. Here, listen. This is good. Here, Paul uses adoption to illustrate our new relationship with God. In the Roman culture, the adopted child lost all rights in his old family. But listen, he gains all rights of a legitimate child in his new family. What Paul teaches here is that in Christ, you have lost all rights you had as a child of the flesh.
Amen.
You lost all rights. Listen to me. This is good. This is so good. I'm about to get excited. That means you no longer have the right to sin. Before you came into Christ, you were a child of the flesh. And you had the right to sin. That's the family you belong to. But in God's adopted family, you don't have that right anymore. You no longer have the right to sin. You no longer have the right to be selfish. You no longer have the right to steal. You no longer have the right to lust. You no longer have the right to lie. You no longer have the right to fornicate or to commit adultery. Those things you once had the right to do because you were a child of the flesh. But you don't have that right as an adopted child of God. You have changed your family ties. You no longer have the right to live a carnal life. All rights of the old man, they're now gone. But you now have the right to be free. you have the right to live a victorious life over sin and the things of this world.
Amen.
As a child of God, one who's been adopted into God's family, you now have the right to be healed. You have the right to be delivered from Satan's oppression. You have the right to love, peace, and joy. Those are now your rights. As a child of God, you now have the right to God's presence and God's power. When Jesus died, the veil was rent. And that which symbolizing that which kept man out of God's presence has now been taken away. And now every single one of us have right and access to the presence of God. That is a right you have as an adopted child of God. You now have the right to God's way of life. Everything your new family has to offer, you now have the right to. You've been adopted into the family of God by the Holy Spirit, and by His Spirit, we now cry out to God, Abba, Father. Abba is an intimate term for God, our Father. That's a game changer, church. That's a game changer when you understand the family you've now been adopted into. As children adopted into the family of God, you've been freed. We've been freed from the power of sin, and we've been given access to the power of God. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, He leads us into the life that God has for us. The Holy Spirit now bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God and that we have been freed from sin through adoption. Question. Are you living as a free man or a free woman? Or are you still letting your flesh tell you what to do? Ariel, come up, please. I told you I was going to have a three-year-old help me preach today. And I want Ariel to come up and share something that her daughter said to her this morning. I want you to really hear this because it's going to make a whole lot of sense to you.
Okay. And I asked my husband because I have been a crying mess all morning. So just in case I'm in tears, he will come and read it. My three-year-old, I was doing her hair, and I found out that she asked to stay in church also instead of going to the back, and she has no idea that we're about to share what she said. But I was doing her hair, and she said, Mommy, I saw God. And she has said that in the past, but I said, okay. Where did you see him? She said, I saw him at Huntsville, Alabama Church. We pray every morning on the way to school, and Anya always prays for Huntsville, Alabama Church, and she has made requests if she could go to Huntsville, Alabama Church, and my friends have come to pick her up at times to bring her there while we worship here.
That is Restoration Campus in Huntsville.
Yes. So I said, she said he was in a purple shirt and had a purple bag. I said, how did his face look? She said, sad. And I said, sad? I said, why? She said, God's about to fight. And I said, fight who? She said, the giant. And I said, why? And she said, the giant wasn't listening. God is sad because he doesn't want to fight. I said, where did you see God? She said, Huntsville, Alabama Church. Anya said, God is in time out. I said, God is not in time out. She said, yes, God is. God is in trouble, and he's about to come down. Anya, God is about to get up the mountain, and I'm about to get up the mountain like God did. God is about to fix my mountain. I'm about to climb up my mountain and read my Bible. And I said, Anya, I said, why is he sad? She said, God is sad and God is mad. He's mad at you. He's mad at Aria. And he's mad at Daddy. And I said, God isn't mad at us, baby. And when I walked in, Pastor told me what he was preaching on. And I felt the correction from my child. And that God is calling us to lay our stuff down. And that he is about to fight.
Okay, yes. Yes, go on and just thank, bless the Lord for that. I want to tell you what I believe God, I got from that, especially about the God being mad part. God is mad about the sin that we allow into our lives. He loves you. He's mad at the sin. And what I believe, I heard the Lord speak to my heart was this. He is coming down to put to death, if you will allow him to, once and for all, the power of sin that wants to control your life. That's what this black is all about. But you have a choice to make. And it's really a simple choice. This is the beauty of God. God puts to death the deeds of the flesh and the sin that's in our life through the work of the Holy Spirit when we yield to him. So this is the only thing you must answer today. Will you yield to the Holy Spirit in your life? You cannot put to death sin, but God will and God can and God wants to if you would allow him to. God wants there to be a funeral today. He wants to bury that sin that wants to control your life. Will you let him do it for you this morning? He is coming down. He has come down. And he is mad. He is mad because his people do not believe him. His people do not trust him. His people do not yield to his Holy Spirit. We grieve the Spirit of God that's in us. Comes to help us because we give more power to our stinking flesh than we do to God. Will you let him put to death once and for all the power of sin that wants to rule in you?
That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week and God bless.